are listening to Carol. Everyone, I'm your host Lady Madonna, and you're listening to Camera Roll, only on radio.dominican.edu. Today, our TV and movie news segments will merge in one segment on primetime. What online TV streaming site is being sold? What TV shows are getting the most ratings? What movies and theaters are worth watching? And which ones you should steer away from? And more. All of your comments and everything you would like us to know, you can tell us on Facebook, our page is Camera Roll, or on Twitter, follow us, the account is at LadyMadonna_DUC, Lady and Madonna with capitals and Madonna with a double N. And right now it's time for our first segment.
This is Prime Time.
Well, this week in Prime Time, we'll have... First, there was this week the premiere of some very anticipated movies. We're gonna have this Friday the premieres of, well, two very anticipated movies. The first one is a PG-13 family action kind of movie, and the movie is called Real Steel with Hugh Jackman. He's stepping down from being a mutant and a dangerous and angry guy, and he plays an ex-boxer that was forced to retire when the boxing sport became a robot sport. The story is supposed to be more of a father and son bonding movie than an actual action movie. Still, they say it's going to be filled with action and some really good moments. That one's coming up next Friday. And another movie that's coming up this week is set on the drama side and is a highly anticipated movie. The movie is Ides of March. It's the second movie we'll be seeing of Ryan Gosling this fall. And he's co-starring with George Clooney. The question is, who will shine the most? It is the kind of politics-related movie bound to get some Academy Awards nominations. George Clooney takes on a supporting role instead of the leading one, and George Clooney plays a politician running for the White House. Ryan Gosling plays a media advisor that between the campaign of George Clooney's character and, well, the media. And it's supposed to have a lot of intrigue, a lot of drama, and they presented it, I think, at Cannes, and it got really, really good reviews, so it's a movie we can expect to be good. I highly recommend if you want to watch that movie when it comes out, if you want to kind of get in the mood and get prepared for it, I recommend you watch some of their previous movies just to get tuned in. First, I recommend you watching Drive with Ryan Gosling. If I recall, it's still in theaters. Is really good. And so this movie, Ides of March, is directed by George Clooney. So if you want to get an idea of how he is as a director, you should watch Good Night and Good Luck. That's directed by George Clooney. And on the kind of acting role we can expect from Mr. Clooney, you should watch Michael Clayton or Up in the Air. Those are some of his best performances of the last few years. He got an Academy Awards nomination for both of them. And, well, we'll get to see how it is next week. Another news, Hulu, the online video streaming site, is being sold. Apparently, the broadcasting companies are not that happy with the site. After 3 years, the report said that the media giants think the website is taking out some of the prestige of the TV itself because it may be undermining the business because they're paying fees to have their shows broadcast on satellite and cable TV, while on Hulu you can watch a lot of shows for free. So, well, Hulu Plus was released earlier this year, and we think that's a move to redeem the companies. And now you have to get a paid subscription to watch most of the shows. But Hulu is still on sale. But what remains to be seen is what kind of sale they're making, because when they sell the site, what are they gonna sell? Just the site? Or are they selling all the relations with the companies and the rights to have the videos online? We'll see. That may not affect the consumers, but then again, it might. Well, on the movies that came out this week was a comedies weekend. We saw the release of two expected comedies. The first one is What's Your Number with Anna Faris, and the second one is 50-50 with Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Well, while What's Your Number tried to give Bridesmaids a run for its money, it's apparently going nowhere. The movie is a romantic comedy, and it also revolves around a wedding. BTT, that's the abbreviation for Beyond the Trailer, those guys that make pretty good movie reviews, they gave it 4 out of 10 stars. And, well, they said that if you don't mind a movie that you kind of already seen 1,000 times, and you don't mind the kind of dumb humor that Anna Faris also usually brings, you may enjoy it. But the general recommendation that I will give you is that if you want to see a light romantic comedy that has to do with women, dates, and a wedding, you should go and see Bridesmaids. It's already on DVD and Blu-ray. It's a really funny movie. So I recommend Bridesmaids instead of What's Your Number. And the other comedy, however, got better reviews. This comedy is based on the experience of the writer of the movie himself, as he struggled with cancer. Though the movie is about dealing with a serious condition, the reviews are mostly positive, saying that you may cry a little bit, but mostly you will laugh. Also, it said that Joseph Gordon-Levitt get a really good performance, and Seth Rogen did a really good supporting role, like he's not the center of attention as he usually is on his films. So that one is highly recommended if you want to see kind of dramedy. Another movies that were released this week include the thriller Dream House with Rachel Weisz, Naomi Watts, and Daniel Craig. The movie is about a family that moves into a house that has, like, in the house there were some murders in there before they move in. Well, the poster depicts two little girls kind of vanishing into the house walls and holding hands. The trailer seemed interesting. But, you know, a haunted building, a father that may become a killer, two little girls walking down the hallways all by themselves. That sounds an awful lot like The Shining for me. And so I don't know if I'll be watching it, but if you like that kind of suspense, thriller kind of thing, you should watch it. Well, another release, this one is a release I'm really excited about, though it had a limited release, I think only in New York and LA. I think we won't see it in a lot of theaters, but we should get it on a DVD or Blu-ray release soon. It's a documentary film that is called Sarah Palin, You Betcha. Well, that, as we all know, is a famous Sarah Palin, like, catchphrase, You Betcha. And she was all mavericky while running for vice president with John McCain. But this movie, the filmmakers actually took a trip to Alaska to see if they could also see Russia from Palin's house. But of course they couldn't, and so they took the chance and also tried to talk to the people who share their daily lives with this politician from Alaska. As it turns out, people were kind of frightened to talk about this one's hockey mom. I personally think it's a good idea to see this, because usually the good manners and good habits politicians brag about and the things that they claim to be or not do at home are kind of far from the truth. So we may get a little bit of insight of what Sarah Palin's life was really about before she started making awful statements on TV. Well, another movie news. I don't know if you know that there's the Puss in Boots movie coming. It's a spin-off from the Shrek trilogy or saga or thing. So the Puss in Boots, again with Antonio Banderas as the voice of the Puss. And well, this movie was supposed to be released on October 4th, and the date has been moved to October 28th. And the producer said it's a move to give it some edge above all the family movies that may be coming up for Thanksgiving. Because, you know, there are a lot of family films coming out in all of November, starting the weekend of Thanksgiving till mid-November, before the release for Christmas begins. So DreamWorks, what they're trying to do is give it one more week before that madness starts, because if you have like 8 family films, you won't get a chance to see them all. But if the Puss in Boots is coming out a week earlier, so they may get a little bit more audience. I personally don't think I'll be seeing that movie. The last Shrek movie was really, really bad, if you ask me. I mean, they weren't completely out of resources. The movie wasn't that funny. The 3D was just getting you dizzy and giving you a headache. I don't know. But, well, maybe the Puss in Boots also has... the plot is kind of different. Of course, Antonio Banderas is the voice of the Puss. And there's going to be the lead female, kind of, is another cat. And Salma Hayek will be doing her voice. And Zach Galifianakis is doing the voice of Humpty Dumpty or something like that. It'll look kind of funny, but I don't think I'll be seeing it. When it comes out, if you go see it, you can leave your thoughts on the movie on our Facebook page so we can talk about it. Well, this was Prime Time. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook to the page Camera Roll. Stay tuned, because coming up we have our movie and TV selected reviews and some juicy gossip for you. I'm your host, Lady Madonna, and you're listening to Camera Roll only on radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back. You're on radio.dominican.edu. This is Camera Roll, and I'm your host, Lady Madonna. Today's TV review is... House. So House, also known as House MD, is a medical drama that aired on 2004 on Fox. At that time, the show was as different as it could be from all the previous medical dramas there were, because it wasn't not the kind of soap opera kind of drama that Grey's Anatomy has, and it also wasn't the like action and tense feeling show like ER that is all centered on the patients and the emergency room and all that kind of tension rolling around the doctors. It is different because those shows mainly focuses on either on all of the characters or on the situation itself. But House MD revolves around the lead, and also his name is House, so that's why the show is called House. And he is the head of the diagnosis department at the Princeton Plainsboro Teaching Hospital in New Jersey. And this is actually not a real hospital. A lot of people ask about, in the Fox page, ask if it is a real hospital. Well, it's not, even though it's really good. The setting is really good, and they show like sheets with the name of the hospital and everything. It's not a real hospital. But anyway, it's in New Jersey, and the main character is Gregory House, and he is not your typical doctor. He's an anti-hero. He's a medical genius with a really cynical and somehow distorted take on life and humanity. He disagrees with his fellow doctors all the time. He defies the rules of the hospital, of medical practice, and of social conduct. The fact that he is almost always right only increases his arrogance. And why do we watch a TV show with such a scum as a main character? Well, he's awesome.
It's a basic truth of the human condition that everybody lies.
Well, Hugh Laurie, he's the actor that portrays House. Fun fact here is that Bryan Singer, who's also the director of the first X-Men films, he's a producer on the series, and when they were doing the casting, he said, "I'm not giving the part to any actor that's not American. It has to be an American actor so he can portray what we really want in this character." And Hugh Laurie, he was actually on filming the movie Flight of the Phoenix at the time of the auditions, so he made his own audition tape in his hotel bathroom, because it was the only place with enough light for him to make the tape. So he filmed it. He had gotten the lines from his agent. He filmed a bit of the show. He took a cane and did the limp and everything, and he sent the tape to the producers. And when they saw it, they were so thrilled. Actually, Bryan Singer said, "This actor is exactly what we want an American actor for the part." Well, he didn't know that Hugh Laurie is British. Actually, the same thing happened to me when I started watching the series. I thought he was American because he makes such an excellent American accent. Well, the main and supporting characters on this series, well, everything revolves around House and how he manages around the hospital and how he manages to find what's wrong with his patients. He always gets the most difficult cases that have already been through some doctors, or no one can tell what they have, or some patients that have been given a lot of diagnoses and none of them is right. So House is in charge of solving medical mysteries. Well, the main and supporting characters and some of their personal plots are loosely based on Sherlock Holmes. House and his deductive methods, his lack of interest in patients as a person, his deep interest in mysteries, his lack of personal care. He also only thinks on his patients as one more thing to do, one more puzzle to solve. And he loves music, and his cynical attitude towards social conventions, all that are borrowed directly from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's portraits of Sherlock Holmes. House also has only one friend. You could imagine being such a weird person and not lovable. I would think he wouldn't have any friends, but he does have one good friend, and he is Dr. James Wilson. Wilson is based on Watson, the counterpart of Sherlock Holmes, and the relationship between House and Wilson is a really interesting one. For fans of the series, is one of the main reasons why some people keep watching the show. They have this develop a kind of bromance in the series. They love and hate each other. The relationship has been the main plot in several episodes, and Wilson's quiet demeanor and he's always looking to do the good thing serves as a balancing point for a House personality. Well, I'm not going too deep into the plot, because you know they're starting their 8th season right now. Actually, today is the premiere of this 8th season. So you can imagine that after 7 years, this show has been practically through everything. They have done everything and anything you can imagine of. And actually, there are some rumors going about that this might be the last season. And one of the main characters, Dr. Lisa Cuddy, I'm not going to tell you more about her, because if you want to watch the show, you don't want me to spoil it for you. But she's a really important character, and she's played by Lisa Edelstein. And she's not coming back this season. So that is kind of like the beginning of the end for the series. It may be running for this season and maybe one more, but I don't see any plans in the future of House MD for returning for a 10th season. But anyway, the first seasons of the series are brilliant. If you have kept from season 1 until now, it can mean one of two things. A, you have found something irresistible about the series that lies underneath the plots of each season. Or B, you don't mind the series not being as good as it used to be, because all the time you have already invested on it. I think I find myself between those two. The first, I think, 3 seasons were really, really good. The 4 seasons has its ups and downs. And I think from 5th, 6th and 7th, they have their good things, but they're not as good. But what I'm telling you is, if you're going to watch them all, you're going to keep watching. Because once you're already past the 5th season, you're just not going to stop watching. Oh, the only really highlight of the last season, I think, was this one episode when House is under some heavy sedation or something. And he has weird dreams. Oh, and Cuddy has some weird dreams too. And those dreams are really good. They have a zombie-related dream and a musical theater-related dream. They're really good. But anyway, I highly recommend the series. It's different from all the medical dramas. It kind of has a take on CSI, like trying to find out what happened without actually being there. And, you know, the characters are really appealing because they're really complex. Anyway, the 8th season premieres today on Fox at 9/8/7 Central. I can't wait, because last season actually ended with a really huge cliffhanger, and I think it will be really good. I don't recommend watching it if you haven't watched the last season, at least. If you watch some of the episodes of last season and you want to watch this episode, I recommend you go up online and look out for the synopsis on the episodes. But it's going to be cool, I think. Well, before we end up our TV segment, I wanted to tell you that the ratings for the first week of premieres episode is already up. Like, TV ratings take a bit to reach audiences because they have to go through some processes and stuff. So they usually go out kind of a week and a half after the show's premiere. But anyway, we have the ratings for the first episodes. You remember when 2.5 Men came up and Modern Family, new episode, Big Bang Theory, all of that. So the primetime series ratings, actually the highest rating episode was the 2.5 Men premiere. It had 28 million and some more viewers. It was actually, they had more viewers than the Sunday Night Football. is one of the few times that a simple comedy show has gotten higher ratings than a night of football. And then after the football, that was Steelers versus Colts. And the next one in rating is NCIS premiere on Tuesday. And then Two Broke Girls, the new series. I haven't seen it. Well, I saw a bit of it, but a friend of mine up in Meadowlands told me it's really funny, and she recommends it. And then after Two Broke Girls, Dancing with the Stars, NCIS, Sunday Football, and after that, in the 8th place, we have The Big Bang Theory, another episode of Dancing with the Stars, and then we have two Modern Family episodes close together with 14 million viewers. And because, you know, Big Bang Theory had two episodes. So the first one of the Big Bang Theory episodes rated on 14,900 viewers. And then we have two of Modern Family and then the second Big Bang Theory episode. So that kind of puts them on the same place. If you want to check out some more ratings, you can go to the website. It's called saptoit.com. They have all of the TV ratings. And now I'm going to leave you for just a little bit. And we will be right back. Jitterbug. Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
Jitterbug. You put the boom boom into my heart. You send my soul sky high when your loving starts. Jitterbug into my brain.
In a first for the prestigious organization of the Nobel Prizes, a Nobel Prize will go to a man who died just days before being named the winner. Ralph Steinman, a biologist with the Rockefeller University, was named a winner today of the 2011 Nobel Prize in the Psychology or Medicine Department. Steinman died of a pancreatic cancer on Friday at the age of 68. The Nobel Committee was unaware of his death. If they had known, they would have given him the award because of their rules would have precluded him of being selected as a winner. The decision was made today, just before the announcement. The emergency room doctor who declared Michael Jackson dead testified Monday in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Dr. Conrad Murray that he was in no way doctors could have revived the pop icon after he arrived at the hospital. Prosecutors argue that Murray's failure to tell paramedics and doctors trying to rescue Jackson about the profile is one of the negligent acts that made him criminally responsible for Jackson's death. Mexican filmmaker Alejandro González Iñárritu has picked up a special honor of a body of work that includes this year Oscar-nominated Beautiful, the haunting tale of a cancer-stricken father. The director acclaimed for movies such as Babel and Amores Perros received a Golden Eye Today Award for career achievement on Saturday night for the Zurich Film Festival. It is the first time the festival has given one of its top awards to a Mexican director. Those were today's top stories. Welcome back to Camera Roll. You're listening on radio.dominican.edu and I am your host, Lady Madonna. You can follow us on Twitter at the account at @LadyMadonna_DUC and like us on Facebook at the page Camera Roll. Before we start with the reviews of today's feature film, I'm going to send a shout out to some people who has been with us through Twitter and Facebook. First to Caro Aiza and Claudia Loza, and also to Ale Linaje. And we're sending a greeting all the way to Buenos Aires to Lalo Alcocer that has been listening to us last weeks. And now, with our premiere segment, our today's featured movie is Brad Pitt's newest hit, Moneyball. This is a film that actually had a really good timing in on its release, because it was released last week, and that's just the weekend before the baseball playoffs started. Moneyball is a movie about one of the managers of the Oakland Athletics in 2002, when they had a bit of an economic crisis, and this manager came out with a way of making the team play with new players that were less expensive than the ones they had. It's a bit complicated for me. I actually did some research. I want to say hi to Tyler, that he told me that this was a really good movie. And so he's a baseball fan, and if baseball fans recommend the movie, it should be good. This is a movie based on a book, and the book is based on an actual story. And of course, they had to make some changes. I don't know how drastic or important the changes are, but the plot of the film is, okay, so Brad Pitt plays... plays a coach for the Oakland Athletics. This is called Billy Bean. He's the general manager for the Oakland Athletics. So the movie is supposed to be in a time where the Athletics were low on funds and couldn't afford to hire their usual players. So Bean, along with a student on that had made some statistics theories, and he was recently graduated, they tried to make a new team solely based on statistics and using a computer program. Kind of like what you do in your fantasy series now, or if you're playing the game on Xbox, you just choose the best on base percentages and the fast and the speed and all that. So what he did, he went to the database and he selected players that had a good on base percentage, but because of some small failures, they hadn't been classified as good players, so they were actually not on demand, so they were cheaper to hire. So he assembled the team and he went on to practice and playing with them. The movie takes us from the start of the end of the 2001 season with their loss to the New York Giants in the postseason, and that's when they lost their star players. And the movie goes through all the way to the end of the 2002 season. The curious thing is that it's not the actual movie that, oh, we're all together and we want to win. They actually don't win the series, but they go from being terribly bad because they couldn't adapt the players to the team to sticking with what they had in mind. Actually, the owner of the Oakland team wanted to cancel the season because they were doing really, really bad. But Billy Bean said, well, please bear with me while I'm doing this and you'll see we will get far. And they actually get, I think, they get really far in the finals, but they lose to the Minnesota Twins. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, they have a really, really big game against the Kansas City Royals, and that's kind of a high point of the movie, I understand, because being as he was a player in the major leagues, the scouts put him as a good player, but his statistics weren't so good, and he couldn't make his baseball player, and then he came in to be a manager. So he was kind of superstitious and he never went to the games. And the game against the Kansas City Royals was kind of an important game and they were winning, but the family of Bean convinced him to go to the game. It's kind of the heartwarming moment in the movie. He goes to the game because, he didn't go because he thought if he was in the game, they would lose. So he didn't go to the game and he didn't watch the game on TV. He just kind of isolated himself from the game until it was over. But he finally goes to the game and they start losing. But then they eventually won 11-0. And, well, it was a great victory for the ace. And, well, that's the story. I actually am not a great baseball fan. There is some Some people they say it's a really good movie. Another friend of mine, Brian, he's a really big baseball fan, told me that he read the book a lot of times and he loves the book, but that he hasn't seen the movie, but someone told him that they had changed a lot of things in the movie. So a lot of things are different from the book. I guess you will have to go and see. But as far as movie made from books goes, you can't really expect the movie to be neither as good as the book or as loyal as the book as you want it to. You can always say, oh, I would have put this thing on the movie and not that thing. But maybe there's a reason why not everyone's a movie director, right? So, well, anyway, it's supposed to be a really... It's classified as the feel-good movie of the year. And it's supposed to be really heartwarming. Brad Pitt has really good reviews as an actor on this movie. And, well, if you're into baseball or like Brad Pitt or like sports movies, you should go see this movie and then you can tell me if you liked it or not. Stay with us because coming up, we're gonna have the juiciest gossip for you. We have one undesirable star that is heading for India and another star that is denied access to Canada. So if you want to listen all about it, stay with us. Remember, you are on radio.dominican.edu. This is Camera Roll, and I am your host, Lady Madonna. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm your host, Lady Madonna, and you're listening to Camera Roll only on radio.dominican.edu. And we have the latest gossip for you.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Well, on the newest, dirtiest scoops, we have that Russell Brand, that the British comedian, well, he thinks he's a comedian. Well, the British guy who's married to Katy Perry, he was denied entry to Canada this past Saturday. He was to perform at a comedy show in Canada, and the reasons for the denial are yet unknown. But we do know that earlier this year, he was kicking out of Japan. And the reasons given for that was that he was being deported for actions committed over 10 years ago. Could it be that Canada has some dirt boot brands past? Eh? Well, we don't know. But it's certainly weird because Canadians are always so nice with everyone. So we will hear. Once we know what Russell Brand did, we'll be sure to let you know. Another news, Paris Hilton's show, The World According to Paris, was cancelled due to low ratings. So she decided to take her uniqueness to a market, the market that will value her exporting goods. That is India, where she'll do something on TV or movies. All we know is that we are happy to be Paris free for just a little while. Also, well, almost all the series have returned by now. And the ratings on Friday showed that the sci-fi series are suffering. Series as Fringe and Supernatural, and the new series Gifted, that is about, it's kind of like Medium meets The Mentalist. It's kind of that sci-fi, low sci-fi shows. Also, they're dropping ratings. And also on the drop are CSI New York and Blue Bloods. Well, I think people are actually going out on Fridays and not staying home to watch TVs. But it is curious that all the TVs that are being low on ratings are sci-fi TV shows and some of the cop shows. Though it's true that there are too many shows that are about cops and too many not well done sci-fi shows. That is not the case of Fringe, though. But, you know, maybe the drop on ratings on the Fringe thing is because on last season they announced that Peter may actually never have been existed. It was kind of weird, like, okay, so Peter is supposed to have not existed at all. So that is kind of weird. So I'm guessing maybe the viewers weren't too happy about Peter not being real after all. But you know, I haven't watched Fringe. I really do want to watch it, but I never know what the show is about. It's really complex. My mom loves it, and I would love to watch it someday, but I think I'm gonna just wait till the season, till the show is over, that if they keep going low on ratings, it should be very long. And if they are killing off their main characters, that means they're just one or two seasons away of the finale. So once that happens, I'll watch Fringe. Okay, so on our spoiler time. If you don't want to hear spoilers, just cover your ears for a little while. They're not big spoilers. I recommend you listen to it because there are really good just bites of things that might be going on the next few weeks. Nothing to ruin your appetite for the series. On How I Met Your Mother, the gang will be going back to Atlantic City. If you've seen the show, you know that I think it was on the third season or fourth season. Second season. They went to Atlantic City and Marshall and Liddy tried to get married there. But apparently they're going back there and we'll be learning more about that Korean table game. You remember Barney playing a Korean betting game? It was really weird. A lot of Korean guys, we didn't understand anything. We might be getting an insight on that game. And that shall be fun. We don't know. And also on How I Met Your Mother, in a recent interview with one of the creators, some people asked about Victoria and how we saw her last week. And apparently she was going to be out of the picture because she is getting off to be engaged. But the creator said that we may see her again before the series ends. So, will she marry Klaus? I don't know. I don't think she was going out and she thought Klaus was gonna give her an engagement ring. But I think that's not gonna happen. Because usually what you think is gonna happen is not what happens. But anyway, we might see her again. On the next spoiler, we have Glee. On the next episode, is called Asian F, because Mike Chang's gets an A-, that is supposed to be the equivalent of an Asian F. So we will get to meet Mike's parents and also Emma's parents. We'll get to know some of the background on them and mainly some of the reasons for Emma's OCD. We will also learn a dear little secret of Mr. Schuster that I did not look further into it, so I'm not gonna ruin that for you. And for all the Supernatural fans out there, we have Mark Pellegrino returning as Lucifer in the season premiere, and apparently he'll be a big part of this season's plot. So, I don't know much about Supernatural, only that this one guy at my school in Mexico loves it. It's supposed to be really, really good. And, well, we have a returning character that's supposed to be really important. And also returning, and it's an unexpected return because they were cancelled 5 years ago, is Arrested Development. They have decided to go One Tree Hill and return for one more season 5 years after they got cancelled. I don't know how that stuff works, but if you got cancelled, that means people didn't want to watch your show anymore. Well, maybe it doesn't, but anyway, they're returning for at least one more season. There are no dates as of right now of when they will be returning, but they're supposed to return either this year or middle of 2012. And, well, we have the Dexter premiere was last week, and it was received with really high ratings. And, well, this week we have HouseMD. And that's it for our gossip section. We will have more gossip for you next week. Stay with us, because after this, you are gonna have your splice with DJ Tortula. So stay tuned. This is radio.dominican.edu. This was Camera Roll, and I'm your host, Lady Madonna. It was nice talking to you, even though I didn't listen to you. So leave all of your comments and more on our Twitter page. I will remind you of the account once more. It's at Lady Madonna with capitals and double N on Madonna _DUC. You can also like us on Facebook. The page is Camera Roll. So that is it for this week. If you had any suggestions of what you would like us to discuss next week, you can leave us your comments on Facebook or Twitter. Tune in next Monday, 5 to 6, for a new episode of Camera Roll.